Song of Solomon, chapter 6. This is the whole song is it's a love story, a love song for, between Christ and His church. But I want you to look in verse 3 with me. Song of Solomon 6 and verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Boy, to have a beloved, to have somebody, to God to bless a person in this world, to give you someone that is beloved. You love them, they love you. To give you a beloved. It's wonderful. What a blessing, what a mercy it is from God to have someone to share your life with when you're young. Oh, you start out young, you have fire, you have zeal. And oh my, you have so many dreams for the future. All the houses you're going to have, the children you're going to have, and yards you're going to have, and money you're going to have. And you're just full of dreams. And you dream together to have somebody to love you and dream together. Start a life together. God give you somebody. David, or God called it the wife of your youth. Wife of your youth. And then middle age comes along. That's about where we are, ain't it? Then middle age comes along. And then God continues. You still got that beloved. Someone that you belong to and someone that belongs to you. And that's the way you look at it. We belong to one another. And then you get in middle age, you settle down a little bit, you know. You'd rather stay home and do a lot of things. You enjoy staying home. Enjoying life together. Enjoy life together. And then, next thing you know, you get old. And boy, to have somebody to be with when you're old. Oh, somebody to love you when you're old. To still have that beloved. Watch over you. Watch over one another. Take care of one another. One of them's sick, the other takes care of them. Watch over them, make sure nobody mistreats them. Oh, what a blessed thing to have a beloved. What a blessed thing it is to have a beloved. And it's sad. And that some people go through life and never, ever have anyone. Anyone to belong to or them to belong to anybody. That's a sad thing, isn't it? But look what he said here. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Tell you something about believers. They're beloved, and they have a beloved. God's blessed people are never, ever, never alone. Never, no, never alone. I am my beloved's. Look what he said there in verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Now that fairest among women, that's the Lord's people. Where's thy beloved turned aside? They know you got a beloved. Where's he turned aside that we may seek him with you? Now listen to what he says. My beloved's gone down into his garden. His garden's his people. We're the Lord's plant. The garden is the Lord's people. He comes down among his garden. Every flower is different. Everything's different. Everybody's got a different... You know, God's got lots of flowers in His garden. And every one of them is just a little different. But they're all the Lord's planting. They're all the Lord's flowers. He's gone to the bed of spices to feed in the garden. He's gone down among His people to feed among them. And to gather lilies, He takes some of those flowers home to Himself. And then He said, I am my beloved's and my beloved's is mine. He comes and He feeds among those lilies. Now I want to talk about I am my beloved's. And then we'll talk about the beloved's mine. I am my beloved's. And how long is, when did I become my beloved? When did I become Christ? My beloved. When did I become the beloved? When did I become Christ? When did I become loved of Christ, beloved of Christ? You know, Paul wrote to the Romans and he says, beloved of God, called in Christ. Beloved of God. And they called him their beloved. When was I beloved? When were you first beloved of Christ? Well, I tell you what, we was beloved of Him. We was His beloved before time ever began. As old Scott said, before time ever was, before time ever began, I was my beloved's. And if you're His, before time ever began, you're one of His. Now you keep Song of Solomon chapter 6. I want you to look over with me in Romans chapter 8. I show you something here by God's grace. You know, that's what he says, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Him, beloved in Him before the foundation of the world. And I'll tell you something, beloved, He loved me and He loved all of His people. We were beloved of Him before I ever was, before Adam was ever made, before the stars were ever put in the sky, before, as Job said, before the sons of God began to shout for joy, before Orion was put in the skies, before Pleiades was put there, before the earth was hung on nothing. God loved His people. Yea, I've loved you with everlasting love, and I called you with cords of loving kindness. I was Christ, and you was too. He told before Jeremiah was born. He said, before you was formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. I knew you. And not only did I know you, but I ordained you to something. I ordained you to something. And that's why Paul said, when it pleased God, He separated me from my mother's womb. And then when he was in his 30s, he said, He called me by His grace. He didn't call him by His grace when he was in his mother's womb. He is a rebel like everybody else was. But because he is beloved of God, when he was on that Damascus road, that's when God called him by His grace. And look here in Romans 8 and verse 30. Talking about God's predestinating purpose and for whom He foreknew. That word foreknew means He foreloved. He foreknew everything about Him. Nothing He didn't know about Him. Moreover, whom He did predestinate. Now listen to this. It's the blessings of election. Been predestinate. Them He also called. I tell you what, before He ever called you, He knew you and predestinated you. Not only that, then He justified you. Now this was all going to be before we ever was. Now listen to this. And to whom He justified, them He also glorified. What blessings of election. And what shall we say to these things? What are we going to say to God's foreknowledge, God's predestinated purpose, to the calling and justification and glorification? What are we going to say about it? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, can't work for it, can't earn it, don't deserve it, freely give us all things? Now listen to this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified them. Now I'm talking about, when was I my beloved? I am my beloved. When did I become His beloved? Before time was. Show you another. We've quoted this so many times, 2 Timothy 1:9. You got to see this. We've quoted this and quoted it, but I tell you what, if you see it in the Scriptures, you can't argue with it. 2 Timothy 1:9. Talking about when did Christ love us? When did Christ choose us? When did we become our beloveds? I tell you, it was before God ever started anything. Look what he said, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Talking about the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His purpose, His own purpose and grace. Now listen to what the rest of it says. Which was given us in Christ Jesus Grace was given us in Christ Jesus. God's purpose of grace was given us in Christ Jesus. We were called with a holy calling, not having anything to do with our works. Purpose and grace was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. So, you know, I didn't find it out. I was always His beloved, but I didn't find it out till He told me. He had to tell me. So, that's why He says, you know, the children not being yet born, having done neither good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. He said, Jacob have a love, Esau have a hate. What are we going to say to these things? Thank you, Lord. I can understand you hate Esau, but oh, to love Jacob and to love me, now that has to be by grace. Huh? Let me tell you something else when I became my beloved. I became my beloved when the Father gave me to Him and gave you to Him. And I tell you what, we need to look at this again, John 17. Now you keep, well, I guess we can forget that song of song. I got my text from Him, but look over here in John chapter 17. I was His, the Father gave me to Him. And oh my, what a thing that the Father would give you to Christ. And we were given to Christ in an eternal electing grace. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me, given to Him in Christ before the world began. Given to Him in Christ for Christ to stand good for us. Given to Him in Christ that Christ would save us. Given to Him in Christ so God could view us in Christ. As she sung last Wednesday night, accepted in the Beloved. When God views me, He views His Son and views me in the Son. If God never has viewed me outside of Christ, and that's what's so blessed about the gospel, that God never views His people outside of Christ. And before the world ever began, He viewed us in Christ. He says, He is, behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And I tell you, beloved, we were, Christ was God's first elect, and then we were chosen in Him. And Christ was God's elect Son to come and be the Savior of His people, the Redeemer of His people, the Lover of His people, the Savior of His people, the Keeper of His people. Everything that His people needed, God gave us in Christ before the world began, and then turned around and gave us to Christ so Christ would stand good for us and charged Him with us for all time and eternity to deliver us until we get into glory. Now that's right. Now look what He said here in John 17. All that the Father gives me, they're going to come to me. They're coming. Are you coming? Are you coming? If you're given to the Father, you're coming. You start coming and you just keep on coming. Now look what He said in John 17:2. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life, listen to this, to as many as Thou hast given Him. Look down at verse 9. I pray for them that Thou hast given me. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they were Thine. Look down at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Now listen to it. Those that Thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, Judas, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But as were given to him. Now look down verse 24. Oh, listen to this now. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold. That's what He told that thief on the cross. Today, Thou shalt be with me. Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou gavest me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. If you love Christ, then what we were, now this is what's so astounding, what we were when we were given to Christ was fallen sons of Adam, sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, blind as a bat, we couldn't see the glory of Christ. Born in self-righteousness and goodness of our own self. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But when we were given to Christ, and Christ came into this world, you know, He said the same thing to us that He said to Lazarus. Live. I say live. Lazarus, come forth. And we was born blind. We was like that man that was born blind. Now, Lord Jesus said, receive thy sight, and he was seen. Born in self-righteous. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. We come down out of that. And that's why the Scripture says, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we got Him. He got, when He got us, oh, we got everything. And then He got us. Oh. And I tell you what else I am. Not only as I His before time began, I am my beloved. I'm His because the Father gave me to Him. And I'm His because He redeemed me. He bought me and He paid for me. He bought me. Now what do you mean by that? I mean, you see, before time began, as God, Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. As I said, we was born and shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. We were enslaved to sin, held in bondage by sin, held in bondage by a fallen nature. And we couldn't change our nature. We couldn't change what we were and how we acted and what we did. And what Christ done is He came into this world with the obligation of all His people upon Him. All of their sins had to be paid for. All of their iniquities had to be paid for. All their rebellion had to be subdued. Everything that they had ever done wrong, thought, said, or done, Christ had to pay for every sin of all of His people for all time and all eternity. And a multitude that no man can number. And when He says that He shall save His people from their sin, I mean, that's all of them. Well, how in the world is He going to pay for our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Christ came as the Lamb. As a substitute, as a sacrifice. And what did He do? He bought us with the price. What was the price? Paul said, Peter said, we're not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold. You can't buy your soul, and you can't pay for a sin with gold. You can't pay for your soul or nobody else's soul with silver. But we were redeemed, bought, and paid for with the precious blood of Christ. And let me tell you what redemption means. First of all, it means to pay somebody's debt. Secondly, it means to purchase a slave off the slave market with the intention of setting him free. Well, we were slaves to sin, held bondage by God's justice and law who would not let us go. They said, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And so Christ, He redeemed us, paid for all of our sins, paid our sin debt, and set us free from the power and penalty of sin in the new birth. And then, beloved, He done it just so we could go free. Now I'm free. Free from what? Free from the law. Oh, pathetic condition. Free from sin. Sin's no longer my master. Free from self. Self is not my master anymore. Free from the opinions of men. Free from the justice of God that demanded my death. Justice can't come and charge me anymore. Sin can't even come and condemn me because God said their sins and iniquities I will remember. I won't remember them again. Huh? All your sins. Like, preacher, you don't know about what I did yesterday. Oh, I'm talking about that one too. If there's one sin that Christ didn't pay for, then we're all a bunch of gone guesses, I'm telling you that. That's why the gospel talks about what Christ did, not us. It talks about what He accomplished, not us. He put sin away. He satisfied justice. He honored the law. He presented Himself to God. He is our propitiation. He is our righteousness. Everything. And that's why He bought us and paid for it, and now he says, go ahead and go free. Just like he told that maniac of Gadara, after he clothed him in his right mind, he put clothes on him, he sat down at Christ's feet. And they said, where are you going? He said, I'm going wherever you go, that's where I'm going. What did Bartimaeus do? He said, when he came inside, he followed him in the way. We're following him in the way. Zacchaeus come down out of his house and said, I'm going to go home with you today. Why? Because we're justified freely by his grace. Now, beloved, when you and I, we pay for something, Christ paid for us. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And you and I, if we go out here and pay for something, we expect to get what we paid for. We get very upset if we don't get what we paid for. Do you think Christ actually didn't get somebody he paid for? You reckon some sin that he paid for is going to come back and haunt you? Do you reckon sin's going to come back and condemn us? That God's going to come back in justice and say, wait a minute, my son failed in this one part? No! It's not going to happen. And I'll tell you something, if Christ died for every man on the face of this earth, then every man on the face of this earth must be saved. Because I know everyone for whom Christ died must be saved. And since everybody's not saved, that means that Christ didn't die for everybody. He said, I am my beloved's and my beloved's mine. And I tell you this much, you're talking about a gospel done, not do done, not you, him. Not your feelings, Christ. Bless his name. I'm my beloved. He bought me and he paid for me. And then he said, go free. And I went free. And you know what I've been since I've been free? I've been free to worship. I've been free to call on his name. I've been free to praise him. I've been free to love him. I've been free to read the Bible. I've been free now to love and honor and worship Christ. And I couldn't do that before. He had to set my heart free, my spirit free, my will free, my mind free, my emotions free, my affections free, so that I can now freely worship him. I couldn't do that before. Could you? Now we can. Why? Because he said it's free. It's like Jacob. He loved Rachel. And oh, he labored hard for Rachel. 14 long years because he loved. That's my beloved. Christ labored for us. And he got us. Huh? You see, grace gave us to Christ. Justice paid for our sins. So we as much saved by the justice of God as we are by the grace of God. But yet it appears as if grace was saved by grace as if no justice. And justice is if no grace, because you can't have one without the other. Huh? Oh my. And let me tell you, let me hurry on. Tell you another way that we're his, how we're our beloved. I'm his by conquest. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you all a little story. Stop right here. I'm his by conquest. Mary and I met, I was 17, she was 15. I was home on leave from the Marine Corps for 20 days before I went to Vietnam. Young, stupid. Oh, wow, I was a genie. And we went on a couple of dates. And the second one we went on, she was 15, I was 17. I said, won't you marry me? Oh, she said, that's just foolish. That's just stupid. But the first time I saw her, I said, that's it. That's it. 2 years later, we got married. Got home by the first time, my first day we were on. I said, you going to marry me now? We're going to get married. She said, I guess I will. But that's what I'm telling you. But I wouldn't let up. I knew what I wanted. 44 years in September. And that's the way Christ won. He conquered us. I read it in the day of his power. The day of the power of his love. The day of the power of his grace. And all the enemies that we had, sin, conquered it. Death, he conquered it. Hell, he conquered it. And he fought the battle by himself. He by himself purged our sins. Huh? Oh my. How did he conquer me? By love. He loved me, and I tell you, if you ever get a sight, I'm going to tell you something right here. If you ever get a sight, God ever gives you a sight of Christ bearing your sin, not mine, yours. You see Christ bearing your sin on that cross. You'll see your heart and soul will be so overwhelmed that you'll never ever get over it. But you'll have to see that for yourself. And that's, you'll see such love involved, such grace involved, such power involved. And you'll say, oh, that he would do that for me? Me, such a sinner? Me, such a rebel? Me? Huh? And I'll tell you something, beloved. He fought everything that was against us. Look over in Isaiah 63. And he took it out of the way. And where did he put it? He nailed it to his cross. Oh, my. He conquered all my enemies. I ain't got an enemy. You say, well, the devil. No, Christ whipped him. Whipped him good. I don't have to deal with him. Everybody, they give way too much power to the devil. The devil does this, the devil does that, and the devil do this, that, and that. And I've told you this before. Old John Bunyan and his Pilgrim's Progress. He's seen this, been on the way for a while, and he saw this house off in the distance full of lights. It was Gaius's house. Gaius, you know, had a church in his house, and it was Gaius's house. And he saw them lights off there, and he wanted to go up there. Him and Papal wanted to go up there, and it's dark, and he saw the lights up there on the hill. He wanted to go up to Gaius's house. Well, he got up close there, and there was two big lions. Roar this roar. He'd get close to them lions and just roar. Terrified him. Arrgh! And he said he got up there close and got up closer and closer, and he found that those two lions was chained. And if he went around, they couldn't go no farther than what the chain would let him. He went around and the chain couldn't. And he went on up to Gaius's house. And that's the way the Lord, he put the devil on the chain. And we all going to get to Gaius's house. Them devils on the chain. Oh. He may roar real loud. He goes around as a roaring lion. But I'll tell you something. Christ defamed him. He ain't going to bite us. Christ unwhipped him. Look what it said here in Isaiah 63, talking about Christ, how he conquered us. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, listen to it, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like on him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have tread the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I'll stain all my raiment. All of our enemies is what he's talking about treading down. For the day of vengeance in my heart, and listen to it, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. He done it all. Destroyed all of our enemies. And our beloved, he conquered us by his love, conquered us by his... Over in Song of Solomon 5:4 it says this, that he hath put his hand in the hole of the door. That means he put his hand in the hole of the heart. You know, he don't... He conquers us in such a wonderful way. And I'll tell you something about us. When he conquers us, you know what we do? We surrender. We throw up the white flag. I surrender, Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours. Huh? He won my heart. And let me hurry on and say this about it. Not only am I his before time began. His by the Father's gifts. His by conquest. But I'm his and you're his by relationship. I'm my beloved's by relationship. You know, Paul said, I despatched you to Christ as a chaste virgin. You see, the Scriptures calls us, we're his spouse. He went among the garden. He went among, where's my beloved? She's Shulamite maiden. The church is always considered as a bride in the Scriptures. In Revelations, he talked about the bride hath made herself ready. John, they said, ask John, who are you? He said, I told you I'm not the Christ. Said the bridegroom has the bride. And the friend of the bridegroom, he rejoices when he hears his voice. So you see, beloved, he's the bridegroom, and his people are the bride. So we're his by relationship. We belong to him by relationship. I mean, we are spouse to him. That's why he says, you know, said the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and the bride has made herself ready. What's she dressed like? She's in white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. And all, beloved, we're his by relation. But tell you something else how we're his by his son. We're his son too. It's the Scripture that he's presented to us in every way of a relationship. As Paul said, you know, said, I show you a mystery. That as two become one, said, so are we in Christ. This business of marriage just shows us the relationship between Christ and his people. Two become one. Christ was one, we become one with him. And then we're called his son. Behold, what manner of love bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We're called his brother. He says, I will declare my brethren's name. And he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And we're called his children. Little children, how did he help and say to his people? Little children. Children, have you got any bread? Called his children. And then we're called members of his body. Members of his body. And I tell you, this is the thing about it. But he's the head of the body. He's the head of it. We're just members. He's the head. He directs it. He gets all the glory. He's got all the power. And it's only through the head that the body moves and has any being at all. Only through the head. So I'm my beloved's. You're the beloved's too. Beloved of God, called to be saved. Now let me tell you now. Then we turn around and say, I am my beloved's. I am. I'm beloved of Christ. Beloved of Christ. And this is talking about a relationship. Now, every earthly relationship comes to an end at one time or another. Every single one of them. Relationships here on this earth do not continue. Husbands, wives, children, sooner or later, one is going to be taken. Going to come get one and live. They're temporal relationships. The temper. That's why we hold, you know, that's why we give everything that we've got in the hands of Christ. They belong to Him and they're His. And He'll always give us grace to leave them, let them go. To go be with Him. He says, you know, Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. How in the world can you not rejoice in somebody go be with Christ? Be with Him. How can you not? But our relationship with Christ, you know how long it lasts? There's no end to it. There never was no start to it. Only in our relationship. Only as it relates to us. There was a time that we found out we was the beloved. But there never was a time we was not the beloveds. But once that relationship was started, just like it started in eternity, it'll go out on through eternity. Just got this little bit of space in here between the eternities called time. And then time one of these days will be no more. Huh? That's what it says, ain't time be no more. So our relationship with Him will be forever. And then I'm going to say about my beloved is mine. Oh, I am my beloved's, now my beloved's mine. If I'm His, He's mine. And oh, listen, let me tell you something. As Christ, God gave me to Christ, Christ gave Himself to me. Gave Himself to me. And for me, gave Himself to me in eternity. Gave Himself to me. I am my beloved's, but yet my beloved is mine. And I'll tell you how He gave us to us. By a gracious, gracious union. Look over in Ephesians 5. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, we've talked about being brides. You know, Christ is the bridegroom, we're the bride. You know, bride means a union of love. A union of love. People get married because they love one another. They have a union of love. Bride, you know, the bride and the groom, they have a union of love. But the body, by being members of His body, is the union of life. So as His bride, we have a union of love. And as His body, we have a union of life. But look what He said here in Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. As husbands and wives become one, and that's what He says, just as that is, we're members of Christ's body. Members. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Ain't that what it says? Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And I tell you something, beloved, He's the vine. Said the Scriptures tells us, our Lord said in John 15:1, He says, without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. But as the branches abide in the vine, so we abide in Him. We derive our life from Christ. And let me tell you something about this union we have with Him. We have union with Him in everything there is. Everything He did, we did. When He lived on this world, we lived in Him. When He died on the cross, the Scriptures tells us we died with Him. When He was buried, the Scripture says that we was buried with Him. When He is raised from the dead, the Scriptures tells us that we were quickened together with Him. When He ascended up on high, the Scripture says we were seated with Him in the heavenly places. Ain't that right? When we're talking about being one with Him, you cannot be one with somebody and not go through everything they go through. Is that not right? If we're members of His body, whatever He did as the head, then we partook of everything He did. In His life, we lived in Him. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Being quickened together with Christ, raised up together with Christ, seated together with Christ. Everything He did, we did. That's why we were crucified with Him. That's why sin can't bother us anymore. We're dead to it. Oh my. Everything, we're one with Him in all things. And oh my. It's just, and when you have this beloved, that once you become one flesh, whatever they go through, you go through. You can't help it. And that's the way it is in Christ. Whatever He went through, because we're members of His body, we partook of it with Him. Is that not right? And then let me hurry on and say this. He's my beloved by His indwelling Spirit. By living in me. Now wait a minute. He lives in us. Colossians 1:27 says this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul told the Galatians, I labor that Christ be formed in you. And what do we mean by Christ being like our Lord Jesus said, I go away. But He that loves me, my Father, will, and I will come and make our abode. We'll live with you. We'll live in you. And so what I'm telling you is that our spiritual life, the life that we have in us, that's Christ in us. What is it that makes you seek Christ? Christ in you seeks Christ. What makes you desire Christ? Christ in you. Desires. What makes you desire the Word? Christ in you. What makes you understand the Word? Christ in you. That's why He said He is our life. If you know, that's why you understand things when you hear, because Christ, it's like when you look in a mirror. Faith answers to faith, and our heart answers to Christ in the Scriptures. Our heart answers to Christ in our desires. Our spirit answers to Christ. When we hear Christ preached, our very spirit rejoices because Christ in us hears, understands it. We relate to it. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. And then lastly, let me tell you this. Oh, bless His name. He is ours personally. Every individual in this building, you say, I'm my beloved's and my beloved's mine. Who knows Christ? So He is ours personally. I'm not talking about you know, I'm trying to talk about you know, everybody's got a personal sin. He is ours alone. I am my beloved's. My beloved is mine. Now you can say that for yourself. That's what she said for herself. I'm saying that for myself. You say that for yourself. He's my beloved personally. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. I enjoy Him. And He comes down sometimes and dwells with me and I feel His blessed presence. That's why they said, my Lord, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Mary said when she saw Him there and they found out who He was and who He was, she said, oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. She didn't say, your Lord, your Lord, your Lord. She said, mine. Mine. All He is, as who He is ours. Christ is ours. All He did is ours. All He is right now is ours. All He is for eternity is ours. He's my beloved. And let me tell you something. And I'll be done. He is always ours. Always. Never ours more at one time than He is another. That's what I love about it. He's ours never at one time more than another. Oh, preacher, if you knew how I feel. Feelings ain't got nothing to do with it. I am my beloved's, my beloved is mine. You don't know how sinful I am. He does. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He's always ours. She didn't say, I don't feel like He's mine today. She said, no, He's my beloved. You just don't know how cold I am. I'm my beloved. You see, beloved, He doesn't come and go. He doesn't, you know, when your feelings are bad, He don't leave you. And all your temperament, you know, you get your nose out of joint about something. No, He always is ours. No matter what condition, no matter where we are, He's always ours. You know what our Lord said to Him, to His disciples when He's fixed to go back to glory? He said, I will be with you all the way to the end of the world. Christ is mine. He is my beloved. That's what faith says. And I am His. That's what faith that works by love says. I'm going to live to His glory. I'm going to honor Him. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Ain't going to be that way forever. I was before we was, and it'll be when we're gone. Same old, same thing. Same thing.